Let's read together Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Now, in this last section of Luke chapter 16, we have the account of the rich man and Lazarus, their lives, their deaths, and their hereafters. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 16 with some background notes. We've seen that the context of Luke chapter 16 is our Lord's teaching about money. In the first part of the chapter, the Lord was specifically teaching his disciples about the right view and the right use of money. But the Pharisees, who were listening in on the conversation, disagreed. And we see in verse 14 that they scoffed at the Lord's view and teaching about money. These unbelievers justified their love of money by saying it was a sign of God's favor and blessing on their lifestyle. And so the Lord turned his attention to these self-righteous Pharisees and told them that they were not only wrong, but unbelieving hypocrites as well. The very fact that they were justifying their adultery by certificates of divorce showed that they really did not have a love and respect for God and his moral laws. And these self-righteous Pharisees were in for some big surprises when they died. And it's in this context that the Lord gave the account of the rich man and Lazarus. So clearly, the rich man in the account represents the self-righteous Pharisees who thought that they had it made with God. How wrong they were. Now, notice that this account is not said to be a parable. It may be. But on the other hand, it may be an actual account of a known rich Pharisee who died and a beggar named Lazarus who also died. Now, before we go to our doctrinal points, it's important to realize that the word used in verse 23 is Hades and not hell as in the King James Version. Hades here in the context is the realm of unbelievers who have died and are consciously awaiting their final consignment to hell, which will take place at the Great White Throne Judgment in the future, according to Revelation chapter 20. So if anything, hell will be worse than Hades for unbelievers. And everything that is said here of Hades could certainly be said of hell. Therefore, in our five doctrinal points, we will use the word hell instead of the word Hades. And that brings us then to doctrinal point number one. Hell is a place of surprising reversal. Hell is a place of surprising reversal. Now, in order to conserve time for five doctrinal points, I'll be reading from an essay that I wrote some time ago on this subject. This essay is entitled Lost Forever and can be found on our website, www.growingchristians.org. Quote, in verses 19 through 21, we read that hell is a place of surprising reversal. In this life, the rich man had it made, while Lazarus had nothing. The Pharisees who were listening to the story, verse 14, would have understood the rich man to be someone who was apparently blessed by God most favorably. And poor, suffering Lazarus would be understood to be an individual who was under the discipline of God. After all, he appeared to be forsaken by God and left to be licked by street dogs, which made him ceremonially unclean. But after death, Lazarus, of all people, was found secure in Abraham's bosom. What a surprising reversal. Notice that the rich man is not said to be a Scrooge or Simon Legree. In fact, verse 21 may indicate that he permitted Lazarus to have the leftovers from his table. The rich man would be typical of a lot of Americans today, apparently enjoying God's favor and by no means deliberately neglecting the poor and suffering. Even token efforts of concern are characteristic of most citizens. Certainly God would not send a good person like this to hell. But the Lord corrects such wrong thinking with this story. The Bible is not teaching here that all rich people go to hell and all poor people go to heaven. Luke 16 does not even tell us why this rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to heaven, although the rich man's self-centeredness may be a hint. The actual means of salvation, namely Christ, is given to us in many other scriptures, but is not the focus of this story. This scripture emphasizes that stature and position in this life may be surprisingly reversed in the life to come. We Christians must share this truth with our status-conscious society. Hell is a place of surprising reversal. Doctrinal point number two. Hell is a place of painful retribution. In verses 23 and 24, we find that hell is a place of painful retribution. Some unbelievers have the idea that hell will be some kind of pleasant reunion with all their old friends. The Bible does not even suggest such a thought. The rich man was suffering torment, verse 23, and agony, verse 24, and did not even want anyone to join him in such a horrible place, verse 28. And there was no relief, not even the slightest ray of hope. Is such punishment fair, many people ask? It is not so much a question of fairness, but of choice. Suppose I'm drowning and I choose not to believe it, and I choose not to take the life preserver which is thrown to me. Are the consequences fair? Unbelievers choose to go to hell because they either refuse to believe the truth or they refuse to do something about it. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 42, the Lord spoke of hell as a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because they choose to go to hell instead of heaven, some unbelievers will weep with unending regret, and some will gnash their teeth in bitter anger against God forever. If you are hearing this talk and you are not a Christian, fortunately, it is still not too late for you to avoid the painful retribution of hell. Choose to commit your life to Christ now, before you are lost forever. Hell is a place of painful retribution. Doctrinal point number three. Hell is a place of conscious remembrance. Verse 25 teaches that hell is a place of conscious remembrance. Hell is not cessation of awareness or memory. The rich man was not only aware of what he was missing as he viewed Lazarus, but he was able to vividly recall his past. In fact, he is commanded to think back on his lifetime on earth. We are fortunate in this life to be able to blot out, at least partially, bad memories of past mistakes. This human characteristic tends to make life more pleasant. But in hell, there will be no such convenience. Every guilty conscience will be fully awake and active. What could be worse than remembering forever the missed opportunities to believe the simple truth? Hell is a place of conscious remembrance. Doctrinal point number four. Hell is a place of no return. We are taught that hell is a place of no return in verse 26. There is no second chance in hell. Any idea of reincarnation is utterly foreign to Scripture. And hell is not a place of temporary punishment with eventual admittance to heaven after a period of purification. The Bible definitely does not teach that everyone is going to make it to heaven in the end. The fact that there is a great gulf fixed means that hell is a permanent situation. Verse 26 makes clear that even if someone in heaven wanted to help someone in hell, this is an impossibility. Mercy is for this life only. The good news here is that the fixed boundary means that believers are eternally secure in heaven. Hell is a place of no return. Doctrinal point number 5. Hell is a place of awful realization. Finally, in verses 27 through 31, we see that hell is a place of awful realization. The rich man was forced to realize that to reject or neglect the truth of the scriptures meant to be lost forever. Like his 5 brothers on earth, the rich man had access to Moses and the prophets during his lifetime. Verse 29. This is a reference to the Old Testament scriptures, of course. For anyone who was open to the truth, the Bible was sufficient evidence, and it still is. Miracles will not convince the hardened skeptic in spite of what the rich man thought and argued. Verse 30. Proof of the declaration in verse 31 took place not too long after our Lord told his story. A man named Lazarus, of all names, was raised from the dead and came back to witness to the truth of Christ and the scriptures. See John chapter 11. The Pharisees who would not listen to Moses and the prophets were not persuaded to become believers, even though someone had been raised from the dead. And of course, our Lord's own resurrection soon after did not change their unbelief either. How awful for those unbelievers, along with the rich man and any other rejecters of Scripture, then and now, to realize after death that they are lost forever. Hell is a place of awful realization. You know, it's significant that the Lord spoke more of hell than of heaven, according to what is recorded in the 4 Gospels. Now, why would our loving Lord, who always went about doing good, spend so much time talking about such an unpleasant subject? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 gives the simple answer. Our God does not want anyone to be lost forever in hell. End of quote. As I said, you can read the rest of this essay entitled Lost Forever on our website, www.growingchristians.org. Now, what about practical application from this last portion of Luke chapter 16? Don't wish that you could do miracles. Don't wish that you could do miracles. Did you ever wish that you could do miracles? I mean, in a good sense, to convince people to read the Bible and get saved? Well, stop wishing for something that wouldn't work anyway. This account of the rich man and Lazarus clearly teaches that if people are not open to believing what the Bible says about the only way of salvation, they would not believe even if they saw a miracle. So don't waste your wishing time. Don't wish that you could do miracles.